Blog Talk Radio.
The whiskey's gone, so I am home, but I can't drink enough to get a dial tone. To speak to the woman who lives next door, for 7 long months she's lived on my floor. So I stand back, I'm under attack, between my own 2 ears, as a matter of fact. I know what she's doing, she lives next door. For 7 long months I tried to ignore. This boom, boom, my chest goes boom. It's the only sound in this empty room. But you, you got that song to bring the band on back and move us all along. And now boom, boom, my chest goes boom. It's the only sound in this empty room. But you got that song to bring the band on back, move us all along. And now soon, 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 you'll be over by 3 when I'm here by noon. And now you got that song to bring the band on back, move us all along. And hey, bring the band on back. I am home, and I just drank enough to get a dial tone. I spoke to the woman who lives next door. For 7 long months she's lived on my floor. So I sit back, I'm under attack, between my own 2 ears, as a matter of fact. I know this girl when she lives next door. For 7 long months I tried to ignore. This boom, boom, my chest goes boom. It's the only sound in this empty room. But you got that song to bring the band on back and move us all along. And now boom, boom, my chest goes boom. It's the only sound in this empty room. But you got that song to bring the band on back, move us all along. And now soon, 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 you'll be over by 3 when I'm here by noon. And now you got that song to bring the band on back, move us all along. Chest goes boom. It's the only sound in this empty room. But you got that song to bring the band on back and move us all along. And now boom, boom, my chest goes boom. It's the only sound in this empty room. But you got that song to bring the band on back, move us all along. And now soon, 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 you'll be over by 3 when I'm here by noon. And now you got that song, bring the band on back, move us all along. Hey, bring the band on back, bring it back.
To John Talk Radio tonight, September 21st. My special guest tonight is Brian Douglas Day of the band Yellow Light Maybe. We're here tonight to talk about the new release and to also just see what the band's up to and what's going on there. If you guys want to know more about the band, I believe the website is yellowlightmaybe.com. And Brian, welcome to the show.
Hey, John, thanks for having me back. It's good to be here.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I know we were just talking a little bit. And I think it was about a year and a half ago, maybe 2 years ago, but it doesn't seem like that long. Wow, I can't believe it was actually, time flies, doesn't it, I guess?
Yeah, it does. I know the last CD, the release show was in February of 2010, and I think we were chatting some early into the summer, a couple months, 5 months later or so. I remember I was in Zanesville getting ready for a show, and setting up while I was talking to you, so I do remember it. So it wasn't too long ago.
Oh yeah, that's cool. But I know there's a lot of things going on, Brian. We want to touch on that tonight. We want to make sure that the people out there, the fans that know about the band, that they can get the latest updates. And there'll be people listening to the show that may not know much about the band. So we want to give them, you know, that surge of energy there and information that they can have about Yellow Like Maybe. So, yeah, so let's start off with, I just want to say congratulations on the new release. It's really good. I like it. Yeah, it's great. You want to talk a little bit, Brian, about how I know that when I talk to musicians and when they talk about their releases and their songs, and I know that you're a singer-songwriter and the songs are your babies and how important it is to get that music out. Talk a little bit, Brian, about the release of the album, Bring the Band Back, and how that all came to be.
Well, you know, it seems that we write songs faster than we can record them. And our previous CD, which was called More of the World, which had 7 songs on it, like I said, just came out in 2010 in February. And we had actually already been playing a couple of the songs off of this CD live all the way back then, about a year and a half ago. So that more of the world had already been recorded, and we already had a new batch of songs that we already started to play live. So it didn't take too long to round out this album, because, like I say, almost half of them were already written a long while ago. And you know, so it was exciting for us because we got a fairly quick turnaround to get back in the studio as a band that, you know, is completely self-reliant as far as our finances are concerned. It was good for us to be able to get in so quickly and to be able to afford it, which speaks to some of the success of More of the World. But it was great to get back in there. I think we started tracking this Bring the Band Back album in January, just after the new year. We wrapped it up in May or June, which was a long process, but again, we had to make money as we went. But I think we originally went in with 7 or 8 songs ready to go, and decided to re-record 2 older songs, and I wrote a new song before we were done recording, and we decided to throw that one on there too. So it was a good process. It was fairly painless. It lasted a little longer than I wanted it to, you know, driving out to the studio for 6 months or so. But it was all worth it in the end. I'm really happy with the way it sounds.
Well, that's great. Where did you record the album?
We recorded this one in Pickerington, Ohio at Sound Cellar Studios. It's owned by John Kent and Nate McDonough. And hadn't known the guys before. I did actually go in there and do an acoustic track of Jackson Hole, which you can find on the CD. I had to get that out to my sister. That's who it's about. I met the guys there and was impressed by the way they worked together. I thought they were really professional and knew what they were doing, and decided to take the band there to do pre-production for the CD. And they were all impressed by their work as well, so we decided to do the real thing there afterwards. So it was great.
Yeah, that's important to work with people that you know you respect and you trust, and you know that they can help you, you know, produce the sound that you're really looking for.
Oh, absolutely. And you know, frankly, we wouldn't really had not had much help on the production side on our previous 3 recordings. Actually, it was basically just a bunch of amateurs going in there and guessing with a guy who knew how to run a recording program. And Nate McDonough offered, for the first time, a nice outlet for myself, somebody who's a talented musician and writer in his own right, for me to go in there and, you know, finally have somebody to help elaborate on some of my ideas that, you know, sometimes you just need help expanding on. And Nate provided a great resource for that, and John did as well. But on top of their engineering capabilities, they both really helped me as far as the production of the CD went, and I think that really shines through on a good number of the tracks.
Yeah, that's cool, and I really do think that it's done really well, and I've listened to it a couple of times, Brian, and I highly recommend it. And for those people out there that will listen to or listening live or will listen to the podcast, yellowlightmaybe.com, right, Brian, and they can download it off of the website. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. They can go there and download. 3 of our CDs are available for download, but the newest one as well. you can also find this new album as well as the others on iTunes, Amazon.com, and there's also a Yellow Light Maybe Pandora station. Obviously, can't download anything there, but you can go there and listen for free too.
Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I know that's good too, because I've talked on the show before, Brian, about how, you know, the internet has changed things with music and the music industry, and how that people can listen to music right now. Like, I was talking this past weekend to a band and about how much music is out there. I mean, it's really, really cool.
God, yeah.
Yeah, how that, yeah. You know, that I can listen to, you know, you can send me the album and I can sit and listen to it in minutes. And I think that's awesome.
Right.
But there's so much out there. I mean, it gets a lot of competition. Like, the listeners have a lot of things. So how do you think, does that come into your mind when you're putting things together and you're recording music and you're thinking about how are we going to get people, you know, to listen to our music, and how are we going to capture? Because all you really need is a couple of folks to really, you know, listen to it and start that networking of you know, word of mouth and like
right.
That.
You know, it's kind of gone both ways for us. We've certainly had a lot of devoted people around us, family and friends. And honestly, this is the first year in our band's five and a half year existence that I've really started to notice fans showing up. And essentially, fans are people you don't know at shows. And all of those people have really grasped onto us this year specifically, and how that relates to the whole online thing is that we've had a lot of help from the people we've just met in the past year, really promoting our things on Twitter, and Facebook and all their own personal blogs and everything. And it's been impressive to see the devotion that people really have to something, you know, a group that they actually do care about and like. And so that's really been boosted our confidence as far as what we're doing. We think we're doing something right. But the people we don't know, honestly, have helped us the most as far as promoting ourselves online goes. And the other problem with that is, you're right, is there's a million bands, and it just feels like here in Columbus, Ohio, and everybody's promoting themselves. Everybody's getting an invite to a show every day on Facebook, it seems like, almost so much to the point where it seems like things are being watered down. Oh, here's another show. There's another show over there. And people really – so we've had to pick our spots as far as promotion goes. Some shows we don't really promote too much because we don't want to play too much here in town. Our CD release show just 2 weeks ago, we obviously promoted extremely hard. And, we pick our spots as far as the internet goes. As far as promotion goes, and we're doing our best to keep things even, just to make sure we're not saturating markets too much, and that's why I think quite quietly we've been playing out of town just as much as almost any other band in town that I'm aware of, with the exception of a few. And I think once people start to understand how much we're actually playing out of the state of Ohio, they might start paying attention even more. But you know, the internet is a great thing, but it's also difficult to use. So we're trying our best to learn as we go.
Yeah, and you made some good points. One thing is, like, you know, the Columbus music scene, and I know that, you know, I interview a lot of bands from all over the place, and I really, you know, get to know a lot of musicians from all over. But I'm really proud of the Columbus, Ohio music scene. I think it's just so unbelievable. I mean, there are so many different genres of music and so much good music, and you can hear a good band probably every night of the week. And you made a good point, Brian, about, you know, you've got to make your niche. You've got to get out there. And a musician today and a band today has to work very hard, you know, to make it. And you got this pack, you know, pack of musicians. And then you've got to push ahead, and you've got to have that drive. And it's not going to be easy. It's a rough economy right now. And and you know, I always look at it this way. It's like people, you know, they think a lot about what they're going to spend their money on now, because, you know, money is, they work hard to get it. And so that's why, you know, when I talk to bands, and they are so appreciative of your fans, and that's what I've heard from you, Brian, in the last interview and this interview about how you guys really treasure your fans and pay a lot of attention, to the people out there that are supporting your music.
Oh, absolutely. Like I said, I've just been really flattered by our tour a couple of weeks ago. We stopped in Pittsburgh, and these three girls showed up in self-made Yellow Light Navy t-shirts that I've never seen or sold or,
oh,
or
that's
anything.
Cool.
And it was great, and that, established bands are thinking, so what, but for four small guys from Columbus who are still doing everything on our own here, it was pretty humbling. So, it's just great to see that, and it makes it all worthwhile. It really does, because, we're obviously not rolling in royalties from our music at the time. So it's the little things like that, make you want to keep going. And you're right. It's really, really difficult right now to come back from a 10-day self-made tour and come out in the green, because, honestly, gas is your biggest expenditure, obviously, but it just costs a lot to keep a band together. And we've done a good job of managing our finances so far. And, we're going to need some help eventually, but for right now, it's those people that out in the other cities, honestly, that make us want to keep coming back, and I don't see us slowing down anytime.
No, that's great. And it is something that, I think people may not understand how much hard work it is to keep a band going. And you have to really be in tune with the business side of it, because it is a business, I mean, there's just so much to it. I mean, like, I could take my wife and we could go see a show, and we would sit down and watch it and leave, and you'd think, oh, that's cool. But what goes into that, all of the preparation that goes into the show, and you've got to book the show, all the business side of it. I think some bands lose sight of that, and that's hard sometimes for bands to grasp, because they're really into the music side of it, but you've got that management side, that business side, which I think is just as, or maybe as, important to keep going. But go ahead.
Oh yeah, no, you're absolutely right, and we like I said, we're completely self-reliant right now. We are on a small record label in town called Secret Song Records, and you can check out all the bands there at secretsongrecords.com. But Mike Folker is in charge of that, and he's done a nice job of helping us recently with, printing the new album and fronting some money there. But, honestly, like I said before, it's completely been on our four guys' shoulders here. And, we've never lost sight of the future, which there's never been a question as to whether or not we're going to record again. We know we're going to record again. So essentially every dollar we save or make is saved. Nobody's pocketing too much money in this group, because we just can't afford it. Like I tell the guys, I can give you $50 after the gig tonight, or you can just give it right back to me in a couple of months when we go to record again,
Yeah.
So we do our best. We pay for gas to get the shows. We pay for merch, but we save as much as we possibly can, because we know it's just going to come back out when it's time to put another album out, which I'm looking forward to already doing again.
Yeah, that's cool that you've got that already in it planning to do. But that's really good. And that's also a part of business. You always got to think a step ahead. You can be happy with what you got, but, that business mind is thinking, hey, guys, we're prepared for the next step and let's move forward.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So
sure.
My guest on John Talk Radio tonight is Brian Day of the band Yellow Light Maybe, and their new album is Bring the Band Back. And we're going to be playing songs. We started off the show, Brian, with Bring the Band Back.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about that. Talk about the song and how that came about. And then we'll play a couple other songs from the album and talk about that.
Sure. Bring the Band Back. I recently just graduated from Ohio University about a year ago. And that song and What Gets Me, which is also on this album, I actually wrote, I think, in 2 days together. They were both in an alternate tuning. And, sometimes you just get hot as a songwriter and things come out quickly. And Bring Band Back was one of those songs that just came to me very quickly. And I've heard a lot of songwriters say that the ones that come the quickest are normally the best. And that song became really, really popular down there with the student body at OU. They all, you know, the lyrics are simple. It's obviously catchy. It's got a different sort of dance beat that you don't hear from us very often. And I would play that song weekly at my weekly acoustic gig down there in Athens. And it caught on quickly, and people were waiting forever for that to be recorded. They kept yelling at me, when is this going to be recorded? And, you know, I was searching around for a title for the CD, and it was keeping me up at night. And my mom finally just said, why don't you just name the CD Bring the Band Back? So I let her win that argument. And that song for the better part of a year has been towards the end of all of our sets, if not the last song, because the people who do follow us really do seem to enjoy that one. And I enjoy playing it. The double time that kicks in at the end is a lot of fun live. And, you know, well, we've had a lot of good things happen to us because of that song.
Well, that's cool. It's a good song. And why don't we play What Gets Me? This
sure.
is John Talk Radio, September 21st show. We have Brian Down on with us tonight from Yellow Light Maybe, and we're going to play What Gets Me. And this is from their newest release, Bring the Band Back, which you can get on yellowlightmaybe.com. You can also get it on iTunes and Amazon, and you should go out today, stop what you're doing, and get it right after the show. And so let's play this, What Gets Me, and we'll come back, stick around, and we'll continue the interview with Brian Day after this song.
It was her birthday, but little did I know that her wishes from candles were meant to blow me away. I hope you liked your present, 'cause I felt like a clown. And no, it wasn't the makeup that put me to bed with a frown. What gets me is what gets in the garden that we both helped grow, and when I smelled the gardenias, I was confident we would go back to where we started, only here in the now, and take a moment, remember how my face stood out in a crowd. What gets me is what gets
Gets Me. That's Yellow Light Maybe from their latest release, Bring the Band Back. My guest tonight is Brian Day of the band, And Brian, let's talk a little bit about your band. Why don't we go through and introduce the band to the listeners?
Sure. We're a four-piece pop rock band from Columbus. We have our origins and date back to about 2006 in Athens. We're the drummer PJ Schreiner and the lead guitarist Ken Lutz. We all went to school there and just started playing together. I was actually just learning how to play the guitar at the time, and quite frankly, I didn't know what I was doing. I learned a lot from Ken as we went along, and just started playing parties and things of that nature. And eventually, I had written a couple of original songs, and I guess the rest is history in that department. But we're on our third bass player, Casey Lehman. He's been with us for 3 years now, and he's been a great addition to the band, and we've all become as close as you would imagine you need to be to stick together for as long as we have. And sometimes I take for granted that we, have been together almost 6 years, because the more I play around with other groups, I find out how rare it is to actually be together that long. It may not seem like it's all that long, but I'm proud of that. And we've really just become a group that people can have a lot of fun with. Out with at live shows, people that haven't seen us live, I tell you need to, because it is a different experience than what you're hearing on the CD. And we're just a group that really enjoys what we do. We all have college degrees, but we all work part-time jobs so we can play out as much as we can out of town. And we've all sacrificed our lives to center around what we want to do, and that is play music together. And like I said before, we're not slowing down anytime soon, and we hope a break is just around the corner for us. And I mean a break in the sense that we can do this full time, and have some legitimate management behind us, and somebody who can book us shows in the right spots. And that's where we are right now. We're excited about this new album that just came out. It's our first full-length CD, and we have a really, really solid repertoire of original music that I'm not ashamed to play in front of for anybody. So that's where we are right now, and I'm really just excited about this CD, and the reception that I've gotten from everybody who's heard it has been very positive, and that's really all you can ask for.
Yeah, and that's really a good point. Also, when you're talking about Brian, the band being together for 5 or 6 years, and I think that it's you can look at that a couple ways. It hasn't been that long, but I've been in bands before, and 5 or 6 days can be a long time in a band. And
Yeah, sure.
yeah, and it just depends on the synergy of the band, and that's what I like for you to hit on a little bit tonight, because it's so. You're together a lot, and you're like you said, you just came off of a 10-day, I think it was, tour, and you're with each other a lot, and being music and artist and that creative thing going on, there's usually some things going on with that, maybe with I wouldn't necessarily have to say ego, but there a lot of times in bands there can be that. What do you think the secret is, Brian, with Yellow Light Maybe and the band staying together and producing and growing and from one album to the other, and staying together and actually enjoying each other being together?
It is difficult at the lowest level. It is still difficult. And the lowest level meaning, a fairly unknown group that who's really just playing still to fulfill their own dreams, not a group that's nationally known already. I mean, we're essentially still doing this for ourselves, and so even at the lowest level, it's difficult. There are egos. There's egos in any form of life and business, and music is certainly no different. I've thought often about making a sign above our practice space that says "Leave your ego at the door," because you can't have one if you're trying to, put four minds together to come up with something out of the blue. It's difficult. Being on the road is difficult. I essentially have four girlfriends, one actual girlfriend, and the other three guys I consider girlfriends as well. It's just you spend so much time with the people, and you deal with each other on such a personal level that you really just have have to put yourself in a leadership position. Everybody does. Every leadership is one key that, you know, I learned from my parents and my dad, who's a musician as well, who was an orchestra conductor and a film musician to his dad. Just saw how he led, you know, 45 high school students on a daily basis. And you really just need to be an eternal optimist, I think, and I am. Because as soon as it gets hard, something gets hard every day, it seems like, but you really just need to keep going and focus on what the fun part about it is, and that's getting on stage. Because once you get on stage, all the arguments end, and you know, it's just something that I look forward to every time we have a show together. But you're right, six days or 6 hours could even be a long time to be with people, and when you're in the car for 6 hours with somebody every day, believe me, it can be difficult. But I don't know what the secret is too much, John, but it's a lot of luck. It is luck. I mean, you really just need to get lucky and have the right amount of, the right people around you that you can actually stand to be with. And I don't mean it so negatively to sound like that, but you do need to be able to stand each other. But you know, obviously, at the end of the day, after 6 years together, we all love and care about each other, and we're just focused on what we want to do, and that is play together. So it hasn't been too much of a problem for us, frankly.
Well, it's some good points. And Brian, I asked that question to just about every band, because I know how it can be. It can be the coolest thing in the world, though. I mean, like you said, once you get to the point where you get on stage and you play, there's nothing like it. I mean, and also talk about, you did touch a little bit on it, but talk about how that feels when you see the audience reacting to your music. I always think that's the most addicting thing for a musician.
That was the one thing I took away from our CD release show September 10th a couple of weeks ago. Is I was frankly exhausted after the fifth song, just because of how tired I was of all the logistical things that took place before the show, the upcoming weeks of the show. And I looked at our set, five songs in, and I said, wow, I don't know, I'm going to get through these other 15. And the audience totally helped me out. I would take breaks in choruses where I should be singing, and they sang them for me. And it was completely humbling and awesome to experience that. I know that there are a couple of songs that people know, but they were singing songs that I wasn't so sure people would be paying attention to, which is great, because there's always those songs on a CD where maybe the songwriter will like, and that's why they're on there, but you're not quite sure that anybody else is really going to get into them too much. But they helped me out a lot at that show, and every show. There's always people singing something, but no, you're right, to see the words that came out of your mind coming back at you on stage is really, really a cool thing.
Yeah, that's got to be amazing. And is there any gigs coming up, Brian? Any shows coming up that people could go hear you guys live?
Yeah, we're actually sort of taking a little bit of a break in the sense, not in the sense that we're all going our own ways, but we had just toured and had our CD release, like I've mentioned. But we do have a show scheduled at Kobo on High Street, October 13th. And we're going to be joined by Karate Coyote, who is another band here from Columbus that people seem to know a good deal about. And, I'm really looking forward to that. It's a small, intimate venue, which is sometimes the best place to see a show. And after that, we're sort of open right now, and that's sort of by design, because we're trying to focus a lot of our efforts right now on getting the CD out to some bigger labels, finding some management and things of that nature. But October 13th at Kobo here in Columbus, you can find us, and we'll be looking forward to that one.
Oh, that's cool. Why don't we play another song? Let's play All I Need Is You. So why don't you set that song up for us, Brian?
All I Need Is You is an interesting song in the sense that the CD was essentially finished. The Bring the Band Back album was essentially finished, and I wrote the song, and we were practicing one day, and we all kind of looked at each other after I presented it to everyone and said, well, that's too good not to put on a CD. And it ended up, you know, it seems to be one of the listeners' favorites so far. It was actually the single that we released before the album even came out. And it's just a good song. I modeled it after a couple of groups that I really admire. And I'm trying to be more concise in my songwriting as far as getting to the point and getting in and out quickly. I got to remember that it is pop rock music, and you know, so to have a song around 2 minutes and 50 seconds is a nice release, certainly on stage as well, when you don't have to be screaming for 4 minutes. So you know, it's a good, catchy, quick song, and I'm really proud of what John, Nate, and myself got out of the studio.
Well, my guest tonight is Brian Day of the band Yellow Light Maybe, and we're playing songs from the new release, Bring the Band Back, and this is All I Need Is You. And we're going to come back and talk to Brian. I want to talk about, Brian, your songwriting style. So stick around, and we'll be back after this song with the rest of the interview.
Fly you to the moon and back, and maybe buy a brand new rig. But singing's what I got tonight, it's what I like to do. A richer man may give you more, but he sure won't sing for you. No, he sure won't sing for you, he knows that all.
I Need Is You. That is Yellow Light Maybe from their latest release, Bring the Band Back. And our guest tonight is Brian Day of the band Yellow Light Maybe. And Brian, let's talk about your songwriting. How does that work? I mean, everyone I talk to, Brian, the singer-songwriters that I have on the show, it's all different, you know. It's some of them sit down and structure songs. They'll sit down, you know, at a piano or a guitar, and they'll play the music and then put the lyrics to it. Or some people say, and I just talked to some musicians this past weekend, that say that the entire song would come into their minds like that, and they hear it, and they just transpose it. So how does it work for Brian Day?
Not like that. I wish I could hear the entire thing and just pound it out, but I don't think that's ever quite happened to me that fluently. But, you know, honestly, for me, John, it's a lot of nights on my couch when I get inspired by something. I normally tend to sit around and tell myself, okay, I'm going to pick up the guitar. I'm going to play something that I've never played before. Sometimes I pick it up and get into habits of just playing something just to keep myself entertained. But if I'm really focused on writing, I'll try my best to come up with something completely different. I like to always try and write songs that are different from the last, which has sort of been a complaint I've heard from some people that there isn't much fluidity as far as, you know, a sound that we may have, songs sounding completely alike, but that keeps things interesting to me, so I'm not too worried about that. But
I agree.
You know, I do come up with guitar. Most of the music comes before the lyrics for me. It's just something that's worked out for me is allowing the music to present a mood, which normally ends up obviously presenting a mood for lyrics. You know, I wish I had an interesting answer for you, but it's so personal as far as songwriting goes that there may not obviously be a formula, and it may even be sort of described what kind of formula works for you. But I just know you know, as far as the sort of genre of music we play, I know a good hook when I hear one. And I think my singing is my biggest strength, so I do try to tailor the songs to the vocal melody as much as I can. And then I let the other guys take over and add the musical elements to it. I mean, I know I'm a good rhythm guitarist, but Kenny is an excellent guitar player, and you can hear his influence all over the CD. PJ and Casey have done a great job of working together as far as being in a pocket together in the rhythm section. And you know, I do my best to write a hook, and when I think it's good enough, I bring it to them, and it gets even better. But one thing I do enjoy about our music is I can take it full band, or I can take it just to a guitar myself and go to an open mic night and play every song, and they don't lose too much because, you know, the lyrics are simple and they're there, and the chords are they keep you interested enough, and you know, I think it's just worked out for me that way.
Now you talk, Brian, about writing about personal experiences and things like that. I know you said you wrote a song, you know, for your sister, and you mentioned your mother earlier, and that's really cool. I really like that. Was it easy or was it hard for you to write songs about personal experiences and then have that out there open to people?
I think sometimes I forget that what ends up being recorded is going to be actually heard by other people. It hasn't, you know, because I've been a little naive in that department, it hasn't weighed too heavily on my mind. I don't think I've written anything that's offensive to this point. I'm doubly not worried in that sense, but, no, you're right. I do have to keep in mind that, the songs, well, at least for the people who are close to me, are going to be obvious enough in the sense that, you're going to know it's about you if you know me. But, you know, it's been flattering from my sister and my family and the people close to me, because that has been my biggest influence, definitely, to this point. They've all been really humbled by the fact that they get to pop in a CD and hear something when they know I'm speaking to them. So that's been neat for me to, you know, I'm a very, very quiet person. I don't say much. And most of the time when people hear a song, especially if it's about them, that, you know, is that Brian? I can't believe that, you know, that's actually him actually singing like that. And it's been really nice for me to have an outlet to let people know how I feel about them. And the other side of that, I already started writing songs for the next album that is sort of more of a more directed at myself, more of a self-examination, because I don't think I've quite gotten into that at this point in my writing. So I think the people that have songs about them, that's all they're going to be hearing for the short time, because I think the next album is going to be more pointed inwards.
Well, why don't we play Jackson Hole? You mentioned that earlier. Why don't we play that and talk a little bit about that, Brian, before we play it?
Jackson Hole is an interesting song because back in 2006 or so, the group recorded 5 songs in one night at a studio in Athens, Ohio. And that was our first recording attempt. And Jackson Hole was actually one of those songs. So it's been around for a long time, but not in its current form. My sister, who is an extremely talented and successful artist, lives in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and she was having a video done about her artwork, and she wanted a song to go behind it. So I knew that it couldn't be the song of the original Jackson Hole in its original form. So I rewrote the song, completely restructured the chord formations, a couple of the lyrics, and it resulted in its current state today. So, I actually have been really, really surprised and overwhelmed by the response of it, because a lot of people have said it's their favorite song in the CD, which
wow.
I was not expecting, but that's completely fine with me. So I know my sister's happy with it, and I'm happy with it as well.
Well, that's great. This is Jackson Hole, and my guest is Brian Dave and the band Yellow Light Maybe. And if you want to, go out on their website, yellowlightmaybe.com, and upload, download, just purchase the CD. It's really great. It's well worth it. And we're going to play Jackson Hole from Yellow Light Maybe's newest release, Bring the Band Back. And after Jackson Hole, we'll be back to wrap up the interview with Brian Day. So stick around. You're back on John Talk Radio. My guest tonight is Brian Day. The band is Yellow Light Maybe. The new release is Bring the Band Back, and that was Jackson Hole from the new release. Now, Brian, let's talk. We got about less than 10 minutes left, and let's talk about how you got started in music. And you've talked about your sister being an artist, and your dad and being musical. Talk about how you got started in music and your family and the influence that your family had on you, to get into a musical career.
Yeah, well, for me, it's honestly, you kind of hit it right on the head there. It is directly from my family. My dad's side of the family, his two brothers and my dad as well are all professional musicians. My cousin is a professional bass player and musician as well. My great-grandfather was head of a big-time big band in Cleveland back in the day called the Ed Day Orchestra. And I grew up around music. I grew up around my dad. Like I said, was the music conductor at Bay Village High School and Middle School in Bay Village, Ohio. And grew up my whole life going to jazz concerts and orchestra productions and plays of the Nutcracker and all that. So I grew up taking piano lessons and eventually played the trumpet and put all that down to join the choir at where I went to school in Avon Lake, Ohio. We had an excellent choir program. So as far as playing instruments goes, I didn't pick anything up through high school and then got to college and was jealous of the guys playing guitar and so picked that up and learned on the fly with them. But my background in music is substantial, and whenever I have a question or need an answer, I can go to anybody in my family. My mom has a great ear. She's been singing her entire life. Amy, my sister, who is an artist, also has a good ear for music. She can play the piano, and I've been really, really fortunate in that sense to have a lot of people to fall back on, ask them whether or not they think something is good. While they don't play the same kind of music that I do, they still know, they still have an ear for things. And I've been really fortunate in that regard, and it's kind of neat that I can play off of them and they can play off of me. I can go respect what they do, and they're not really quite sure what's going on in a rock band, but they respect what I do. So it's been neat for me to finally be able to throw my own two cents in the Day family music scene. And now that things are actually on CDs, they're going to be around long after I'm gone. So it's nice to know that what I've done for my family will be recognized.
Yeah, that's cool. And another thing, Brian, that you were talking about the family. One thing about families is they will be honest with you. I mean, you can have people, they might say, oh, that sounds great. But your family will just tell you how like it is. And I think that's one of the best things you were talking about, your dad and the lineage of musicians and his family and being able to call him and say, hey, what do you think of this? And I think it's like sometimes, I'll talk to members of my family and they'll just be real – lay it right out there, and I'm like, oh, exactly what I expected to hear, but it helps you because you think, oh, okay, you're probably right. So I think that's great. And you're talking about your songwriting, do you remember, Brian, the first song you wrote?
I do. It was a song called "The Smile You Hide," which was actually one of those original five songs that I had talked about earlier that we recorded.
Okay.
And my mom was the first one to hear it because I had no idea what it was, but I knew I had just written a song and was excited to share it with someone. And I think she was the first one to hear it. And fortunately, she didn't shoot it down. She was very positive in the response. And if she would have shot it down, we might not be having this conversation right now. So thank my mom for telling me that song was good, whether it was or not.
Well, I'm sure it was. But you always, it's always cool to have your folks support you. I remember when I started playing in bands, and I used to think, was it cool to have my parents come listen? But it made me feel good when I look out and see them out there, and I think, I'm glad they're here, and maybe I can sound halfway decent. But when
sure,
you
yeah.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. And also, you're talking about the first song you wrote. Do you let's see? You started playing the guitar. When was the first time in college? I think you said. So when was the first time you played in front of people? Do you remember that? The first.
Yeah, I do. I think it was at an open mic night competition in my dorm room. That had been about 2005 or so, and I remember being nervous, and I also remember not screwing up. So I knew I had the capability to be in front of people. And like I said before, I'm naturally fairly soft spoken and shy. So it's been interesting to see. And personally, it's been great for me to go through the years and learn, become confident in myself in front of people. And music's been a blessing to me in that sense, and that I've learned a lot about myself, and I've become more confident just in general. And it is a nerve-wracking thing, that's for sure, but I still think the most nervous I ever get is when my parents make me sing in front of church at Christmas time or something.
Oh yeah,
those folks will let you know too if your version of in the bleak midwinter was not all that great.
Oh, that's pretty cool. And you know, it means, yeah, it kind of takes me back to when I was, started playing. And I can't remember, and I don't know why, but I never was afraid to play in front of people. And actually, I know that I had to really stink at times, but it never really bothered me that much. And I can just remember, hey, I'd get up in front of all, people and sing and just go on with my business. But I think it's, sure. you hit on it, Brian, about music and how, you can build confidence, because it's something that that I can tell from your songwriting and your music that you really love. And when you're doing something that you really love to do, it just brings out the best in you, I think. In a person.
Oh, absolutely. I agree. Especially not only when you're confident in yourself, but you're also confident in the product that you're bringing. And when you know your songs are good, and when you know the guys behind you backing you are good, the rest really just takes care of itself. And that's kind of where I'm at right now with the guys that I'm with. I'm just confident all around.
That's great. Well, Brian, it's been great talking to you. I really appreciate you, taking your time to be on the show tonight, and I wish the best
for
the band. Is there anything you'd like to say to the fans, to the people, listeners out there, before the show's over?
Yeah, I would like to thank the people that already know us that are listening, and I'm humbled by your support, and the people that have just heard us for the first time tonight. I really hope you'll give us a shot and come out and see us live, or at least at the very least enjoy the music in your car, because it all make you feel good, and there's nothing that's not gonna make you want to come and see us again. So. I'd like to thank you for having me, and hopefully we'll be doing it again soon when we get another album out.
That'd be great. Be my pleasure.
All right, great. Thanks, John.
Yeah, thank you. And we're going to go out tonight with a song, Atlanta to Charlotte, and this is from Bring the Band Back, the latest release from Yellow Light Maybe. My guest tonight was Brian Day. And, Brian, thanks a lot for coming on, and the best of luck to you. And listen in this Saturday night on John Talk Radio when my guest will be from Knoxville, Tennessee, Hudson Kay. So everybody have a great evening, and we'll talk to everybody later.
Well, Charlotte asked me on a rare good day, honey, why are we so bloody far away? Ellie was born to my proud mother, Jenny. And if I could give Ellie one gift on her first day of school, I hope that she would find a friend like you, one that can break you but then thank you, to learn the puzzle that makes you, to sigh for the dreams that wake you. It's a girl that Georgia sang, well, love is tricky. If I could, I'd shout it. History, can you erase and doubt it? Not much has changed from Atlanta.
Shouted, history, can you erase it? Doubting, not much has changed. No, not much has changed. From Atlanta to Charlene, we'll call you Charlene. Do you know what you're doing?